all day, knowing that I've been going to be talking to one of our pillars of football here at 6PR in Brad Hardy. I've found myself because I discovered Bradley. Hello to you, by the way.
G'day, Darren. Good to be with you, mate.
I discovered that there was one of those in the series of the They Said You'd Never Make It Swan Lager commercials. There was one with you. Sue and I discovered this on the weekend not all that long ago. And I've watched it and I've got now, They Said You'd Never Make It. In my head, I've got pictures of you. I've never seen you younger, I swear. But you, how old were you in 85 when all of that was done, Brad?
About 22, mate.
Good Lord. So
yeah,
there you go.
Ago.
I've done the research, and do you know what? I couldn't help but notice that you were in the right colours to be a bit excited about this weekend.
My word, I am. And look, they've got a rich heritage in winning that particular medal. And South the Sydney Swans, they're the two main leading candidates, believe it or not. I don't know whether it's the colours or what, but yeah, the Swans have had the most ground overs. The Bulldogs next. Geelong slowly catching up now. So, yeah, it's one of those things. But, yeah, mate, back way, way, way back then, what a career it was too, let me tell you.
I bet. It is, incidentally, on the 6PR Football Twitter page, if people want to check out the video. It's been shared a couple of months ago. It's up there, so feel free to go and check it out. So, I mean, where are you thinking? I mean, is it head or heart that you're going to tip with for the weekend, Brad?
No, both. There's no doubt. I mean, they're warm favourites in the market to the Swans, and look, rightfully so. I mean, the people can make a very good case both ways, but I think they've just got to make sure that they factor in that these blokes aren't superhuman. You know what I mean? You know, they've all got kryptonite of some description, and you know, if you go through it, I mean, the top five players probably for Sydney probably look a little bit better than the top five players for the Bulldogs. But if you go to the other end of the scale, the bottom five players or five or six players for Sydney, well, I think the Bulldogs five or six are better. So, you know, it's going to be that ones in the middle that could really hold the key to this particular win, Darren. You know, and that's why I'm very, very confident that the Bulldogs can butter up one more time.
What's the margin, do you reckon? Is it going to be close?
I don't care if it's a point. Darren, but usually what happens in this scenario, depending on the situation, you've got to go back to probably the Eagles and the Swans in 05 and 06 when they were real arm wrestlers. They went right down to the wire. Not too many of them do that. If one team or the other's really on top, particularly, say, you know, 10, 15 minutes into the last quarter and there's no chance of the opposition coming back, it can be a real blowout. I don't expect that to be the case. I think it'll be very, very tight until you know, maybe the last 5 or 10 minutes. And as you say, whichever team wins, they will not flog the opposition, I assure you of that.
Now, I mean, obviously everyone's fully aware of what's going on with Alea, but like ins and outs, they'll be making some of a difference, do you reckon?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Look, the Bulldogs have been very transparent all year. Luke Beveridge has no reason to stop now. I would have made a couple of changes, but that's I'm not the coach and I'm not the selector, so that's my call. But I think that there seems to be, everybody wants to tell me Jared McVay's not playing. You know, so generally then when that's the case, there could be someone else who's not quite right. You know what I mean? They throw that one out there and, you know, and they're not actually lying. You know what I mean? They're sort of saying, well, yeah, I told you Jared McVay was playing, and he did play, but someone else comes out, you know. So there's a few mind games there. The look, one on the weather, Darren, I mean, it's beautiful now. It's been a beautiful day for the parade and all of that sort of stuff. Now, all of that weather coming across from Adelaide, people have gone to the north and south of Melbourne, which is great.
Right.
And I have showers overnight. They've always got these things, these contingency plans up their sleeve, Darren, because if it rains, you know, you don't need too many talls. The ball's going to be on the ground. If it's fine, well, you might need that marking power. So if you get where I'm coming from, the weather has a factor to play probably right up to the last hour and a half of the game.
Yeah, right. And you're never really sure up until they roll out, really, are you?
Oh, no, we've seen many a change, you know, running down the race in recent times. You know, if someone hurts themselves in the warm-up even, you know, or, you know, not quite well. If somebody wakes up tomorrow morning and, you know, have had a bad prawn or something, you know. Mate, that football is littered with that type of scenario, I assure you.
Geez, you'd be dark if it came right the way down to the wire and it was a bad prawn that did you on the day.
Oh, it can happen. It can certainly happen. You know, there's a lot of X factors in footy when, you know, just getting to the line. I mean, in my day, it used to be 80% preparation and 20% you could try and control on the day. But now it's even greater than that now. I think it's more closer to 90%, you know, preparation. Get everything, get all your ducks in a row, and hopefully the last 10% will look after itself on the day. So it's going to be a magnificent game. Full house. plenty of history on the line for the Bulldogs because they haven't won one, or haven't been in one for 55 years, haven't won one since 54. They've only won one in their history. We know that the Swans broke their duck against West Coast a few years ago in 06, and, you know, they've been back to the big dance on several occasions. But a few of their players, Darren, have got demons as well because their last performance in 2014 was nothing short of putrid. Guys like Gary Rowan and Grundy and even Hanbury, and they had out-of-body experiences. They just didn't show up. So a lot of people saying, oh, you know, you've got to lose one to win one. I don't agree with that at all. I don't subscribe to that theory at all. You know, if you've got an opportunity to go into a grand final and win it, you just don't go and bloody do it.
It's about, you know, turning up on the day. And you, as you were saying earlier, sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Oh, some folks, you know, really get stage fright. I mean, and I don't want to go back to old times, but look, I'm looking at the West Coast Eagles just in recent times. You know, they just had stage fright last year in the grand final, and unfortunately came back to revisit them in the finals this year. But, you know, they'll work through that, and they'll get better players into the club, and they'll, you know, they'll work through that under Adam Simpson, and they'll make sure that things work. But as I say, you know, it's only a couple of years ago that the Swans were there. It doesn't automatically, just because you've lost one a couple of years ago, mean that you're more experienced than the team coming in. If Suckling doesn't play, it'll be the first time since 1997 since there has been a team without a player who's played in a grand final. So there's another little bit of history for the Dogs to overcome.
Interesting. I mean, and that, I mean, you have to think that'll have a factor, but it's like you can never quite tell which way it'll turn, will you?
I think it's changed a lot, Darren. I mean, you know, back in the dark old days when I played, you know, your home grounds were suburban grounds, and you very rarely got to the MCG unless you were playing maybe Melbourne or North Melbourne, you know, in my time. But it was when you then all of a sudden you're going to the big dance, you're playing at the MCG. It was fantastic. Now Fremantle and West Coast don't get a lot of look at MCG throughout the year, but certainly the Bulldogs do. Sydney certainly do on quite a few occasions, you know, half a dozen. So it's not as foreign as it used to be, mate. You know, and it's just the crowd size that changes, you know. So Generally, you know, Sydney and the Dogs would play in front of maybe 40 or 50,000 people at the MCG. Tomorrow it's going to be 100, so they just have to deal with that, that's all.
Surely past a certain point, it's all just numbers.
yeah, exactly. I mean, what you've got to do, I mean, you look at golfers, you know, like, you know, putting for, you know, $1 million from, you know, 10 inches away. You know, they'd probably do it with their eyes shut most of the time, but all of a sudden there's that little bit of extra pressure there, you know, oh, it's $1 million at the end of this putt, you know, and all of a sudden that's where the pressure builds, and that's where I think it's going to be tomorrow. The thing that settles best early. And you know that the Sydney Swans have been really, really good in this final series, bar the GWS game, where they've kicked 7 goals in the first quarter. Well, the Bulldogs can ill afford for that to happen, and I don't think that will happen. I think they'll make reparation to make sure that that does not happen. And if they can be with them, or near enough to them at quarter time, half time, even three quarter time, you'll back the youth of the Dogs to run over the Swans.
How do you reckon it's going to go in terms of the Norm Smith?
Well, it's always a difficult one. I mean, because this is not voted for by the umpires. It's more by the media and selected people in the stands. Now, this sometimes can work for you or against you. You know, if the ruckman who's voting on it, you know, he's probably looking at the big men, see what they're doing. You know, if he's a midfielder, he's looking at what they're doing. You know, so generally they get it right. I mean, sometimes they have to hand in their votes, you know, sometimes 7 minutes before the end of the game. Now, we've had some problems in the past with that, and Collingwood and Brisbane spring to mind, where Nathan Buckley won it in a losing side, where probably Michael Voss should have won it, and that's taking nothing away from Buckley, who's a champion. But that, you know, they've got to get this system right. They have to wait right till the end of the game, I think, to make sure, because I think this game's going to go right down to the wire. Now, depending on who wins, I think it would be nice that the best player for on the ground, you know, hopefully comes from the winning side.
Well, and you're absolutely right about, you know, waiting until things are done and dusted, because, you know, how many grand finals have been decided in the last few minutes?
Yeah, it can change. It can change. Look, they've been a little bit off over the last few years, but quite clearly, you know, I think we're all going with great expectation tomorrow that this is going to be a tidy. So, yeah, as I say, mate, I'd be happy if the Doggies just win by 1 point. It'd be a fairy tale story. And I'm sure there'll be stories coming out of the Swans if they win. But I think, from my point of view, I think the biggest story here is the Western Bulldogs.
Absolutely. Would there be one of those black cans of Swan export still kicking around to crack if that was the victory that happened?
I might have a few in the dungeon, mate. I'll go down and put a few on ice for tomorrow, eh?
I reckon that's a good call. Hey, a quick one before we go. You did briefly talk about the outlook. What's the weather looking like at this stage?
Yeah, no, look, it's fine at the moment. I mean, everything's just passing through, as I say, to either side. I think they might get a few showers overnight. Nothing too bad. I mean, the drainage at the MCG is phenomenal, so that won't be a drama. So, proviso it's not a deluge, which I don't think it will be. It should be a mighty game. It's tipping 18 degrees, you know, light winds, so that sort of thing. So, mate, it should be perfect for football, Darren.
Sounds like a perfect afternoon on the way. Brad Hardy, as always, thank you for your thoughts today, mate.
Yeah, good on you, mate. And no worries. People can watch it on the TV. Turn the sound down and listen to 882 6BR. Tomorrow we'll give you the best coverage, mate.
You know. What time do it all kick off from?
Well, Peter and Kim Haghorn will be on from 10 a.m. in the morning. And myself and Adam and Shane McGuinness will pick it up about lunchtime tomorrow for you, mate.
Fantastic. Brad Hardy, one of our important pillars of football here at 882 6PR.